Today on Real Radio.
The reality that is around us, God creates. Even dangerous things, even sorrowful things. We do not bow down to a fair-weather God. Our God is a God of reality. And somebody might say, well then, why is there so much evil in the world? Answer, man. Don't blame God.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher, Pastor Jack Hibbs, continues in his series through the New Testament letter written by James. You know, of all the topics discussed among believers, the will of God is often pretty much at the top of the list. More specifically, we often wonder what the will of God is for our lives. This is what pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs has been exploring in his look at the last five verses of James chapter 4. It's a presentation called The Answer to Life's Greatest Question.
Are you willing to accept whatever profit or loss of profit comes to pass in a year's time and still say, praise the Lord? You see? Or at the end of the year, if you've made a negative on the venture, is it a great depression for you? Are you absolutely bummed out and scratching your head wondering what went wrong? Maybe everything went right and God was protecting you all along. You see, we need to be careful as Christians that we don't get on some venture and then we, oh yeah, God, will you bless this? And we join in with Him halfway through the deal. That is the first step, Christian, listen, to ruin. Oh, Lord, I've made these plans. I've got this thing all laid out. I got the flow chart. Bless it. That's not how it works. And that's not what the Lord is looking for. When He says in verse 13, come now, the first thing we want to see is our perception, our normal perception in life is often wrong. If you and I don't have all the answers, why is that the case? Because our perception is often wrong. James says, come now, you who say. This is a very interesting construction in the Greek. Some of your old King James Bibles, don't they say, or doesn't it say, go now? Like, go away, it sounds like, huh? Go from here. No, in the Greek, it's come now. Watch this. Come now, you who say. In the Greek, it's this way. Come here now, you. And it's the individual. You. Me. This word, come now, is specifically to me, Jack. It is specifically to you, John, or Betty. It's you. The word in Greek is singular. When James says, come now, James is literally in his pulpit, if you could allow me to do this, 2,000 years ago, James is saying this in the original language. Come now, Linda, and listen. You who say today or tomorrow is not Linda, it is all of the world around you. You see what he's saying? Come now, Don, and I want to talk to you. Because there are those all around you in life who say, today or tomorrow we'll go do this, that, or the other thing. You see this? It's very important. Individually, every one of us who name the name of Christ, we are to come before the command that James is going to give us. And what is he going to say? He said, listen, there are people surrounding your life who will say, today or tomorrow, we're going to go to such and such a city, and we're going to be there for about a year, and we're going to make a profit. Have you ever heard someone, and we all do this, we all make this comment, well, you know, they say that it's going to rain tomorrow. Or they say that it's going to be a very profitable year. You know, we should always ask the question, who are they that we're talking about? It's exactly what James is saying. You come here because they say that we should leave and go today or tomorrow and go to such and such a city, go on a traveling kind of a thing and invest and make a profit. Now again, listen carefully. I'm not slamming the making of a prophet. But what James's point is, that is not why you have been created. What? I thought we've been created to make a profit. You see how this slaps our culture in its face? If we don't make a profit, if you make less money this year than last year, you're considered a loser. If you don't make as much as you did halfway through the year as last year, we're not making it. Things are going down. We're suffering. We put so much on the fact that there are those who say, come, let us make a profit, that we begin to equate our profitability with our very existence and self-value. When God turns around and says, you come here, my little child, your life's existence is not caught up in making a profit. And it almost sounds like heresy in the culture that you and I live in. Today or tomorrow, he says, we'll go to such and such a city. Very important that we understand that it is what they say, the general populace. It's what the Gallup poll would suggest. Well, everybody's doing it. You're hearing a lot about that, aren't you? Well, everybody is doing that kind of thing. The polls show that 67% believe. You know what? With all due respect, who in the world cares? Since when does the popular opinion dictate the execution of the law? It doesn't matter if 99% said. The law is the law. Popular opinion doesn't form or empower or negate from the law. The law is. And James is telling us there's a thing within the human nature, with all of us, even as Christians. Well, can I make any money out of the deal? And that's not bad. But we should continue that lofty thought that's in our head. Am I going to make any money in the deal so I can give most of it to the work of the Lord? You see? And I knew you were going to say that, weren't you? All of us were going to say that. You see how funny it is? Wow. And we start to think, I can get a new car. And your mind goes, huh? Don't tell me it doesn't. All of our minds just begin to go, yeah. If you give me $1,000, I promise to bring 23% return on your dollar this time next year. Yeah? Well, hang on a minute. You work that out? Yeah. Well, where do I start giving? You see? It's in the nature. James says, be careful. Be careful about your natural perceptions. The next thing that we see in this verse is that we have to be careful because we have the wrong perception of time. You who say today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city. Well, it sounds like the guy's got a day timer. It sounds like he's got a little palm pilot. He's got it all nailed out. Well, this is where I'm going to be tomorrow, and this is what I'm going to be doing. Listen, James is saying, he's not against planning. He's saying, you better be careful. Your breath may be taken away today. In all of our plans, James wants us to know, we had better put God first at the top of our list. By the way, people who do that sometimes drive me nuts. They're trusting in God so much. They love the Lord so much. I'm expecting them to be somewhere at 2 o'clock. I went to a meeting a while back, and this guy was supposed to be there at 2 o'clock, and the Lord interrupted his life. But the Lord didn't tell me he was going to interrupt his life. So I'm wondering, where is this guy? Well, the Lord radically interrupted his life. And I was getting all bent out of shape about it. Lord, how could you do that? He does what he pleases. But my day timer, it's right here in Jack 1:1. It said right here, 2 o'clock. You know God reserves the right to interrupt our day tomorrow. Did you know that? He could do anything he wants to do. Well, he better look at my day timer first. We have the wrong perception of time. We don't have the answers, and we don't know what time it is. The next thing we see in verse 13, we have to be careful regarding you and I not having all the answers because, listen, our will, our desire can never dictate reality. And I know that flies in the face of some popular TV shows right now. Our desire, our will, what we want does not change reality. I know there's a young lady on TV saying, you create your own reality. Isn't that something? Stand on a train track. Look down that train track and see that light coming. And you, she says, you meditate on a wonderful forest and stream flowing by. What's flowing by is a million-ton train. Your meditation on creating a new reality does not change the facts. We can be absolutely loving the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind, but the fact of the matter is we don't have all the answers. You may be seated here this morning and you're thinking, well, you know what? I think I've done pretty good in my life. Maybe you have by the grace of God. But listen, you do not have all the answers. You don't know what time it is. You don't know. The Bible says God numbers our days and He pulls our number up. He pulls that number and it's your day today. Maybe it's your day, my day tomorrow. And our number's up and we'll be going to either heaven or to hell. We don't know what time it is. We have the wrong perception of time. We say, and we traffic with those who say, tomorrow, today, we'll do this and so. And James is going to be telling us as we come to the end of this teaching, if the Lord wills, is what we should say. God willing, I'll see you tomorrow. Isn't that amazing? So simple. But the pursuit of profit can skew our thinking. We will go to such and such a city, he says. Spend a year there. Look how specific that is. Spend a year. Buy and sell and to make a profit. By the way, the word buy and sell in Greek is one word, and you'll recognize it immediately. It's the word emporium. Isn't that neat? Emporium. It's where you go. Listen. Now, guys, listen. The ladies will get this in an instant. The word emporium means to go and walk about buying and selling. Now, we don't do much selling because we mainly do buying. But it's to walk about. In Latin, the word is Nordstrom. Nordstrom. In Swahili, it's Neiman Marcus. But anyway. Our normal perceptions are wrong. We're going to go spend such and such a time, buy and sell, make a profit. And we think somehow we're in control of time. And this sometimes bothers us more than anything because isn't time the most precious thing you have? What are your children, or what is it that your children want from you? Do they want money? They don't want money. They want your time. They may think they want your money. They may think that they want this, that, or the other, or that toy, or that item. But you know what they really want? They want time. Kids, love your time. Time is the most precious thing, I think. In fact, the Bible says, because the days are evil, what are we to do? Be redeeming the time, meaning the years that you and I spent investing in the world and doing all the stupid things that we're trying to forget. The Bible says now, through Christ, you can redeem those days. Isn't that great? Thank God. Our perception of time is wrong. The reality that is around us, God creates. Even dangerous things, even sorrowful things. We do not bow down to a fair-weather God. Our God is a God of reality. And somebody might say, well then, why is there so much evil in the world? Answer, man. Don't blame God. Why are all these atrocities taking place? Answer, man. Mankind doing their own will. James taught us earlier, where do wars and fights come from among you? Remember? They come from ourselves, from the heart of mankind, not from God. Another thing regarding verse 13 that we see here is that we don't know all the answers. The fact of the matter is that our motives are often so self-centered. It says to make a profit. It's to make a profit for our own selves. The word implied here is that it is to our own gaining. The second point we see this morning is in verse 14. Answering life's greatest questions is that we don't have control over life's situations. To have life's questions answered is we need to come to the point of realizing that we do not have control over life's situations. Jack, are you insinuating then that we are just victims of happenstance? No, the exact opposite of that. We as Christians, and to be quite honest with you, if you're not a Christian this morning, even your life, in some respect, is under the control of God and not you yourself. Let me explain. For the non-Christian, there is one thing that God is trying to do in your life, and that is He's trying to get you to see that He loves you, that He wants your life, not your wife, He wants your life. Lord, take my wife, and let her be solely, Lord, consecrated unto Thee. No, your life. He wants your life because He wants to bring your life to a purpose. And He wants you to fulfill that reason for which you were born. And you have not yet tasted of that. So in all of your dealings, God is trying to get you to come to Him. Now listen, He may use blessings. The Bible says in the book of Romans, it's the goodness of God that leads a man to repentance. Or He'll use other means. C.S. Lewis wrote that He'll use sometimes His love so great, severe mercy. What? Oh yeah, God will allow your foot to get broken for you to think about Him. God will allow you to lose your old company if that's what it's going to take to get you to turn to Him. He loves you so much you might even get cancer. Did God give it? No, life does it to you, have you noticed? Life's not fair. You bet it ain't fair. That's why I want to get out of here and go to heaven. God didn't do it. God will use it. He didn't do it. God will use sickness to bring you down to the place where you'll finally turn your heart and say, oh Lord God, why? Who are you? Where are you, Lord? Are you real? When you're faced with such serious thoughts, God will use such things. We do not have control over our lives. And for the Christian, now, it's wonderful for the Christian. The Bible encourages us that every situation in life for the Christian, God is in. God is working. God is bringing to our own betterment. Can you believe that? It's amazing what it says. Do we trust Him? Are we living our lives for Him? We don't have control over life situations, but God does. He says in verse 14, whereas you do not know, for what is your life? And there you ought to circle that. For what is your life? What is the answer to life's question? James here under the power of the Holy Spirit in verse 14 says, what is your life? And I want you to ask yourself right now, can you handle this? I've been with this verse all week long, so I can't wait to lay it on you now. Let it bug you for a while. God has been speaking to my heart looking at this verse. What's your life? Jack, I'm talking to you. What is your life? What comprises your life? What are you living for? What is the passion of your heart? Listen, is what you're living for worth dying for? That should answer your question. Is God your passion? If God is your passion and you know Him, you see, the more Christians get to know Him, the more you're willing to die for Him, you know? But what is it? What is your life? James asks. What is it? What value is your life? When the company is gone and it's all over, or the school year comes to a close, or when time has run its course for your life, and you come to the end, what is your life? This week I was so blessed by a precious man who is soon to be going home to Jesus. He recently gave his heart to the Lord, and one of his chagrins, one of his regrets was, now that I know Christ, I'm dying. He's bedridden. And his concern is, I'd like to have served Christ now that I know Him. The Lord brought to our mind the thief on the cross. Thief on the cross hanging there just moments away from death, and he says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And how many people have been led to Christ by the confession of that thief on the cross? I tell you, our God's title is Redeemer. It's an awesome thing that you can be on your deathbed and receive Jesus Christ, and other people in the room be hearing the Word of God. All this man wants now is to hear the Word of God read, and his family's reading the Bible to him. Isn't that incredible? I tell you, it's incredible. Jesus said, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides or lives by itself. But if it falls into the ground and dies, what does it do? It produces much fruit. It's an incredible thing. We do not have control. As Christians, who are we to dictate to our God? You will do thus and so with me. Shall the clay rise up to the potter and say, why have you made me this way? No. Says Romans chapter 9. The uncertainty of life. You do not know what will happen tomorrow. If you're not a Christian this morning, that should send you to your knees and saying, God, forgive me of my sins. Jesus, fill my heart with life and write my name in the Lamb's book and take me to heaven when that time comes. But God, don't let me leave home, leave this earth without you. There's no guarantees. In Luke chapter 12, verse 13, the Bible tells us there, then one from the crowd came to Jesus and said, Teacher, tell my brother to divide his inheritance with me. But Jesus said, Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over your matters? And he said to them, Take heed and beware of covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he owns. Did you hear that? One's life does not consist of the abundance of the things he owns. I thought the bumper sticker said, He who dies with the most toys wins. Jesus went on to say in Luke 12, 16, Then he spoke a parable, and he said, The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, since I have no more room to store all of my crops? It's a bumper crop. So he said, I'll do this. I'll give more of my money to the work of the Lord. No, he didn't say that. He said, I will pull down my barns. I will build greater barns. And there I will store all of my crops and all of my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have many good things laid up for many years to enjoy. Take your ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, You fool. Tonight your soul I require of you. For those things which he has, for whom has he provided them for? So it is to he who lays up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a presentation called The Answer to Life's Greatest Question. It's a close look at the last five verses of James chapter 4, where the brother of our Lord tells us that we ought to always say, If the Lord wills, we shall do this or that. Again, the title of this study, The Answer to Life's Greatest Question. It's part of Pastor Jack's series through this New Testament letter of James. And we'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Well, you've been hearing us talk about the Southern California Prophecy Conference we hosted this last weekend. It really was truly amazing. We had an incredible lineup of guest speakers in addition to our own Pastor Jack. Now, because you're a loyal Real Radio listener, we want to let you in on a very special treat. For a gift of any amount in support of the ministry of Real Radio, we'll send to you a special access card to the audio and video of Pastor Jack's messages at the conference. Now, when you get your access card, you can download both the audio and the video of Pastor Jack's messages and listen or watch on your computer or your smartphone. So the entire Southern California Prophecy Conference available online with the purchase of an all-access card, or you can order an audio CD or video DVD set. For all your options, visit realradioactive.org and look for the SoCal Prophecy Conference banner, realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.